podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Everybody, welcome to episode number 45 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is November 10th, 2016, from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is most of the crew. First, from the city full of kitties, it's Rosh. Hey, Rosh.
Hey, for some reason, I think it's because we didn't have a podcast last week, but I'm actually nervous for this podcast, and I haven't felt like this since the very first one I'm on, so I don't know why. Maybe it's because Kevin's not here, and I know it's going to be a heck of a lot better, so I'm just nervous for the outcome of it, but I'm excited for it. I'm ready to get into it, and I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Fair enough. Well, it's good. It's good to be back, right? It just feels kind of nice.
Yeah, it's very good.
There's not a bunch of people running around and being weird and DJs in the Hilton lobby, you know, none of that stuff. That's kind of nice, right? Let's go to Camarillo, California and hear from Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. BlizzCon was amazing. And I'm really excited to be talking about all the new content coming into Overwatch. And I think this arcade mode is going to be a lot bigger than I initially thought. Like, it's going to have a huge impact on the game, I think.
I'm so excited to talk.
I'm really bummed that Kevin isn't here because I can't gloat about how right I was about BlizzCon announcements. I'm so mad that he's not here.
The one time
I get to gloat.
Crap. And all over your idea.
He's listening right now, though.
It was so big, you calling this, that it would have been more than a, well, you weren't wrong. Like, he would have had to full out say, like, you were right, Jimmy. You were full blown right.
I'm so proud of you. And I ultimately took Jimmy's side. So we'll say that I bandwagon called it as well. So it's pretty good. Man, we've got a fun show ahead of us. We've got a lot to talk about. We just said, here's what happened at BlizzCon. Go. And that's what the show is going to be. But let's talk about a few things first. First and foremost, Rosh and I did do the World of Podcast Overwatch panel, which I hope you all enjoyed. If you didn't, fair. Just, you know, whatever. But if you did, great. I'm also very, very happy. That will be coming on the Overwatch or the Payload feed soon. I just have to edit it and put it all together and then throw it up on the feed. And that takes time. That takes a lot of time. So, but that will definitely be up soon. And I think it was pretty good. I played a lot of Overwatch this week. I've been playing about 3 hours a day since I got back from BlizzCon. So, not Rosh a lot, but a little bit. Rosh, what have you been up to this week?
I have been playing a lot of Overwatch. I've been really, really enjoying the PTR, both the arcade mode, the 3v3s, and the one hero limit quick play, but also ranked. I was excited to do my placements on ranked and see how it was kind of affected with the whole, we want to place you lower so you can climb versus placing you high and letting you drop to your actual rank. So I was kind of curious to see that, but I've played a lot and I've been trying to figure out Sombra and how she works and how Mercy fits into the meta and all of that. So I've put in a lot of time on Overwatch the last week.
That's good. We're playing a lot. Jimmy, don't disappoint me, Bloxham. How much Overwatch have you been playing? What have you been up to there?
Not as much as I would have liked, but yeah, I've been playing on the PTR as well. I didn't get a chance to play Sombra yet on the PTR, but I did play Sombra at the convention. So I have a bit of an idea how she plays, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how she shakes up the meta, and also the changes to quick match are going to be very interesting. That is one thing that Kevin did call correctly our last show, I think. So I'll commend him on that, because I didn't think they were going to put one hero limit in a quick match, but they are. So I think it's a good experiment.
I honestly feel like we all left that discussion saying the no hero limit needs to exist somewhere, whether it's quick match or somewhere else, you know, is kind of whatever. But we're going to talk about that later, because that did change as well. Surprise, surprise. But you know what? Let's go on to the news, shall we?
This week in Overwatch.
Oh, holy crap. We have so much to talk about. But first, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J A, Coral, and Tommy H. Thank you so much for your support of this show. We've got a lot of cool perks over at patreon.com/payloadpodcast. So if you want to support the show, we're really close to our $200 goal, which will be a payload merch store. We're working diligently on that. So basically, once we hit it, boom, we're ready to go and it'll be up. So it'll be a fast actin' tenactin' store. That was not the best. Not the best.
That was great. Oh my goodness.
Oh my god. The advertising of the 90s has a very, very close place in my heart. So
yeah. I can't believe it's not Sombra.
Yeah. It's I get it. Yep. The Fabio. Fabio used to be in those commercials. Do you remember that? Those were great.
I do remember that.
Rosh, do you even know who Fabio is?
Rosh like, doesn't even know. What are you talking about?
No.
You know what? I'm young, but I think we're the same age, John. So you can't give me too much crap.
I don't think we are. How you're
I think
like
you're like a year older than me.
You're like what, 16?
20. Yeah, I'm 12, so maybe I actually am quite a bit younger.
Okay, so you just call me a 12-year-old. Great. Cool. Fair enough. All right. So still not getting Sounders. I'm sorry. It'll be on the audio piece, but I'm looking here and it's being weird. So we'll fix it. Sorry, live chat. We'll fix it. We only have like 4 Sounders that we do anyway, so you'll get over it.
Just bring Katie in. She can do them live.
Yeah, just have her do it live.
Yep. This week.
That's like my favorite time.
I have an extra microphone right here. Just hanging,
my favorite
right?
thing about seeing you guys in person is she does the intro for me and it makes me smile.
Her awkward introduction to people when they're like, oh, who are you? What are you like? You look like you should be somebody, like, but I don't know you. Who are you? She goes, oh, you may know me. I am the voice of the payload and well met. And it gets a good laugh. Oh, that's where I heard you. And yeah, it's pretty great. Anyways, yes, this week in Overwatch, Jimmy said, I'm going to let you do the honors here. What's the first this week in Overwatch we've got going on?
BlizzCon and more BlizzCon. It was all BlizzCon this week, obviously. We had all the announcements on the Friday keynote from Mike Morheim on stage at BlizzCon. And oh my gosh, I was sitting with Heather kind of near the front and they started doing the Overwatch stuff and they were showing that recap video of the launch of the game. And as soon as the first thing like glitched out, I look at my girlfriend, I'm like, it's Sombra, it's happening finally. And of course it was. And for whatever reason, I wasn't expecting the new short that came out with it, but that was amazing and really did a great job establishing her character and I forget the name of the woman she had the meeting with, and booped on the nose, but that whole thing was
Did
great.
You say you boop?
Boop? I said boop.
I have a boop. Yeah, I don't know if you guys can hear it. I need to see. Does this go on?
No.
It doesn't. No. Dang it. I have no idea why it wouldn't be doing that. That's so weird because it shows up. Oh, it doesn't. Oh,
this is gonna go straight to Kevin's head. He's like, the I one know. Week I'm not on this the show, like the sounds don't work. I think it's a sign.
Yeah, there's no reason why it wouldn't be working. That's so weird. Anyways, sorry, you guys, it's all working on the audio part, and I'm too lazy to edit the video part.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was a boop. That was a boop. Yeah, you got a boop.
Sombra's kit's really interesting. She has this like submachine gun with, I think it was, it's 60 bullets in a clip, yes, which is just insane already out the gate. She has an ability to stealth. But what's interesting about it is different from other Blizzard games, like say Heroes of the Storm or StarCraft, where you see a shimmer of a stealth
guys,
unit.
Guys. Fixed it. Sorry,
got
I fixed it.
It.
I figured out what it was. The audio is not okay, so I have to go back and fix all of that. Just want to start over. Just kidding, we're not starting over. All right. Oh, this show is a wreck. Pat Crane would be proud of me right now.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry. Submachine guns, 60 clips, stealth. Disables.
What's
heroes.
Different about her stealth? Is or
the stealth thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't see a shimmer of where she is at all. She's like completely invisible. Although she can be taken out of stealth by any damage or Sombra herself shooting. In any way, and
it's a Winston buff right there. Just kidding. And yeah, may or may not be, but kind of is.
The hacking thing is really interesting. I'm still wrapping my head around it. Basically, you right-click on either an enemy unit or a health pack, and it makes it so that health pack does not work for the enemies.
Let's talk about the reveal for a second, and then we'll jump into the kit and then nerd out about how overpowered that is, too, and, you know, go from there. So let's talk about the reveal. Were you guys in... Rosh, I don't think you were at BlizzCon at this point, correct?
Correct.
So you did not get to hit opening ceremonies. Jimmy, were you in the main stage or somewhere else?
Main stage.
You were main stage. I was over at the Overwatch Arena, which, holy crap.
Yeah, we'll get into that too.
Yep, we will get into that. So that's where I was. So I was only going off of screen. And yeah, so they did do the giant hacking of... a video, which I actually still want to see the real video. It was all about Overwatch launch day.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is the servers. Yep. And they're like in the, you know, the decision room situation room, you know, talking about launch, and then it gets hacked and then it goes and plays an awesome, awesome Sombra short in Volskaya. And that was really cool. So we kind of totally called this, right? Which is not, we call a lot of things. We call a lot of things. This is one that everybody else called. So, you know, it's not super special to us at this point.
I think the payoff was pretty good. I mean, minus the ARG stuff, but in Blizzard even admitted we weren't exactly sure what we were doing with that. So I'm sure they're going to learn from that. But yeah, the excitement in the main hall when it really started kicking in that it was Sombra that was doing the reveal and hacking, it was really cool.
I think because I was watching it on the computer, I didn't get the chance to see it live. But the first time that it actually glitched, even though we had called it and I kind of knew that I was trying to look for that, the first time that it glitched, I was like, oh, did my internet stutter? Like, is that what happened?
The first time,
The second time, I immediately like pulled up Twitter and I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then it announced Sombra and I was like, it's Sombra, guys. Like, it's finally here. So it was actually pretty funny. It was well done.
It was. And I mean, I think the Blizzard knew that everybody else was expecting this. So it was a little bit of like fan service. Like, plan A was to surprise everyone. But if everyone guessed it and figured out, plan B was just to get everybody shouting, Sombra, Sombra, Sombra. That's what I
mean.
Mike
Morheim came out immediately after that and it was like, hey, I guess you didn't see that coming. Like, wink, wink.
Yeah, it was really cool, really well done, and no huge surprises, but still really glad that they did it, you know? It definitely had a huge payoff. Everyone was really excited about it. The energy was amazing. I have no idea, but I have to imagine it was just like that in the main stage. But in the Overwatch arena, it was the same thing. Lots of energy. Everyone was pumped. It was really cool. So Sombra is live. She is a stealthed. Is she in support?
She's an offensive character.
Offensive character. All right.
Yes.
So I haven't gotten to get on the PTR yet. So she's a stealth. Lacking. Yeah, you know what? That's why we brought you on the show. So I can make it look and sound good. And you can make the words that we say right.
Touche.
All right. So she's a stealth offensive character with hacking abilities to hack player abilities and an EMP ultimate that disables or hacks basically everybody in a radius. And she's
Does it also destroy shields, though, too, as well?
Yes, destroys barriers and shields. It's kind of insane. On paper, it sounds amazing. It's 2,000
damage to Reinhardt, rip.
Yeah.
So, Raj, tell us about this kit here. What do you think about Sombra's kit overall?
Well, for everyone who listens to it, I'm not happy with her hacking. Her kit is basically a 6-second cooldown. So that means her teleport can be used every 6 seconds and her stealth is for 15 seconds. That can be used every 6 seconds as well. And then her right click doesn't actually have a cooldown on it. So her kit is cool. I think that Blizzard did a really good job not making it extremely overpowered, which, as everybody knows from my opinions beforehand, I was very, very worried about when it came to competitive ranked, how that was going to affect it, adding stealth to the game. I will hand it to Blizzard. They did a really good job implementing a stealth character. I think that she needs to be tweaked a little here and there, but overall, I don't think that she's overpowered. I think she's played in a really, really incredibly unique way as an offensive hero, and I think that teams will take a while to figure out, so we'll have to see if she's used in the meta as much as Ana was used when she was released. But overall, I'm happy with her, other than the few little things here and there that I'm kind of on.
So do you think, Raj, that she is going to be kind of an Ana effect, where people didn't figure her out for the first month or so, and she kind of, it was kind of irrelevant, and all of a sudden, boom, somebody figured something out, and now she's going to get nerfed?
I don't think that it'll have as huge of an effect as Ana did. I think they kind of learned from Ana to dial her abilities back as much before they released her. I definitely think there will be a time when it just clicks on people when they figure out how to use her. And I've been watching a lot of streamers, like a lot of pro streamers, play her and kind of seeing how they're playing her. And I think I see how she's going to happen, but anything could change. Someone could wake up one day and be like, oh my gosh, I know exactly how to play Selmer. This is going to change the entire game. I don't think that will happen like it did with Ana, because when people figured out how to play Ana with Reaper, it was huge. I don't think the same thing will happen with Selmer. I think she's a more passive offensive hero, so I don't think she'll have as much of an impact as Ana did. But I think it will definitely take some time to figure out the meta and how it goes together with Selmer and where she's applicable and where she doesn't want to be played.
I think if I had to guess, she's going to be one of those heroes that you don't pick like initially when you're starting a match. It's going to be, oh, they're running three tanks, I'm going to switch to Sombra and be able to really interrupt that and disrupt that. That's what I have to guess, but I don't really know. I mean, that's just my best guess at this point.
Yeah, I want to say the same thing, but I feel like if a team, an offensive team, has a Sombra and the defensive team takes that gamble and doesn't run Sombra right away, I think that it'll be really bad. So I don't know. I think it'll wait until the meta kind of shifts into its place, and then we'll see if it's kind of like a set thing, like, oh, it's a capture point map. We know for a matter of fact there's not going to be a Sombra, so we don't have to worry about it. But if it's not, we need to run a Sombra just in case, because if they have a Sombra, it's over. So
and the thing is, like you were saying on a capture point map, if you initially just go in with that, you can completely surprise the other team, stealth up, get behind them, get their support, and all of a sudden they have to figure out what in the world's going on.
The biggest thing that I have with Sombra is that her ult doesn't have a counter ult. You can do nothing to counter a Sombra ult. And that's kind of where I'm just like, I don't know if I'm happy about this, because everybody else's ult has a counter. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything against Sombra.
Yeah.
Can't interrupt it or anything?
What do you... So this is tough, right? So we do have stealth, first and foremost. We've got stealth, which, Rosh, I know you took to Twitter. And I know that you were I know that you were a little bit opinionated. I want to get that from you in just a second. So I want to get that those opinions, or see if you've backed away from those opinions a little bit after playing them. But first I want to go to Jimmy. And Jimmy, I want to talk to you a little bit about the story of Sombra for a second. So Sombra is from Mexico. From all everything that it points to, she is not the little girl in the Soldier 76 video. Boom. I'm typing on a podcast. Look at me. So
yeah, I was pretty sure she wasn't the little girl in the short there. So or not so little. I don't know. She's a teenager.
Yeah. So she but basically she was just an amazing hacker who ended up turning herself into a robot, basically. Is in the end she ended
well, basically kind of... what happened was she got kind of in with the Los Muertos gang, which we see in the Soldier 76 short. But then I forget exactly who,
which
but
are legendary basically skins found her. Are awesome, by the way. So the Los Muertos neon paint thing. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no worries. But another group was just trying to find her, and they did find her. So she basically had to eject out of everything. She destroyed all her data and everything. And then from that, that's why she ended up making herself the computer, so that she doesn't have to have a set location to be able to work and stuff. So that's why she turned her arm into this hacking device and everything. So the story is really cool there. I'm excited to see it expanded on more. And the short really showed her personality, that she is in it for herself. That is it. She's going to use all the other organizations in the world of Overwatch for her own gain. And it, just in that short alone, she double played like everybody, I feel like. And it was really cool to see that.
She's a wild card. She's definitely a wild card. She's not Overwatch. She's not, you know, as we saw from the short, spoiler alert, she's not Talon. She might just be kind of doing her own thing, you know, vigilante style. So that's pretty cool. Rosh, you were pretty opinionated on Twitter about a stealth
I'm
hero.
I'm never with opinionated. What are you talking about?
All right. Okay.
No, Anyways,
now that you've got time to play, are you still worried? I mean, do you feel like they've done stealth right and it's a numbers game? Or do you feel like that whole idea of stealth is dangerous and you don't like it?
I still think it's dangerous and I still don't necessarily like it. If you had asked me, knowing what I know now, 2 months ago, should we still add stealth to Sombra? I would still say I don't like it. It's frustrating, I guess, from a support mains point of view. So I guess I'm a little biased. I do have to say, I do think that they did it well. So I will give kudos to Blizzard. I'll give kudos to you, John. You were right. I won't be Kevin in this.
Well, it wasn't
it's not
wrong,
done
anyways.
Badly. Yeah, it's not done that badly. The only peeve that I really have with it is the fact that it's on a 6 second delay, or it's on a 6 second cooldown. I think that's kind of crazy for a 15 second stealth. I also think that 15 seconds is a lot. She can contest the point on stealth for 15 seconds, which can completely revitalize your pushing team. It can give them way more time than they need to get. I understand that Mei can ice block and Reaper can wraith form on the point and contest it.
But it's not 15 seconds. It's like five, right?
Exactly. It's huge. So I will say that getting her out of stealth is kind of easy. I've been trying to really listen to the games. to see if I can really track her when she's stealthed. I can't seem to hear her footsteps, so I don't know if I can confirm or deny that you can or not. I just haven't been able to tell. I don't think you can, but it seems to be really easy to get her out of stealth. And as soon as she gets out of stealth on anybody other than a support player, she's pretty squishy and easy to like lock down and take care of. So I'm not that mad over the stealth. But I'm still like, oh, it's stealth right. In a shooter game.
It's a fine line that Blizzard has to walk here. It's a very it'll be fine interesting line. To see. I don't think this will be her final form here. I think they're getting a lot of good data from the PTR next.
Yeah, that's not her final form.
I mean, remember we talked to Patrick Beja like for 20 minutes about Sombra, I feel like, and we were talking about just how strong her toolkit is, and I think everyone's expecting some sort of changes before she goes live.
So there's still also just a lot that's unknown. Like they said in chat, can opponents see Zen orbs above her? There's like a lot, maybe not that question specifically, that might have been answered. I don't personally know because I haven't played Zen against her. I actually didn't even think to check that out, but I know Soldier Ult sees her through stealth. McCree ult doesn't. Do Symmetra turrets see her if she walks by them in the Symmetra turret? I haven't seen that. I think there's still a lot that's unanswered that they're still finding out on the PTR. So there might be easier ways to keep track of her when she's stealth that we just haven't figured out yet.
Right. I'm going to make a call right now. I think that they end up moving her stealth down to 12 or 10 seconds. Number one, I think that it stops contesting points at 5 seconds as a worst case scenario. So imagine the first 5 seconds she's on the point in stealth, boom, she gets it. And after that, done. But I honestly think what they're really pushing for is a meta shift toward like a more Winston, you know, that kind of spread type of magnetic damage or like a Mei, and getting those people in or heroes involved in the meta rather than make it so that the current meta works with Sombra, which I don't think is totally the point. Stealth may end up being nerfed to the ground and end up being a total gimmick, and she'll take the Symmetra / Torbjorn route of just not being very viable in competitive. I don't think they want to do that. I think that those are worst, you know, plan C, plan D type choices, not plan A and B, which I would say A is leave her as she is and hope that people are bringing a more robust character choice there so that she can't single-handedly disable a team and kind of do what a Ana Reaper does or in, you know, those type of things. And so that's what I'm calling. I'm gonna be daring and make 3 predictions on the same thing. That's very daring and bold and courageous of me. I know. Yeah. Anyways, that's what I think will happen. I've only heard feedback on how it's been so far. Overall, people sound like pretty optimistic overall. Like they think that the idea and kit overall is like, yeah, this is good and this could work. The question is, how is Blizzard going to balance it?
I want to quickly clarify some things. I looked this up. The duration of the stealth is 6 seconds and the cooldown is 6 seconds. So, yeah, you're right. You can basically have it up infinitely.
So it's... It's a 6 second cooldown from when you get out of stealth.
Out of it. Yeah. Correct.
So it's not infinite. You get out of stealth and you have 6 seconds to get to the next one. So it's not 15. Okay.
We didn't even talk about the translocator. That's 15 seconds. So you throw that out, it lasts for 15 seconds, and then you can move to where it is. And actually the kind of cool thing is you can move to it when it's mid flight. So you can really get creative with it, and that'll be interesting to see. I think that's a really cool tool for her.
People seem to be using it more for as kind of like a back out defensive opportunity. Just throw it, and then more than not, they're using it when it's midair than when it actually lands.
Yeah, right. And there's also almost like a tracer like move with it. You can just put it somewhere, go poke in, and then get out of dodge as soon as you need to.
Yeah. So
Sombra's kit's fun.
We've talked a lot about Sombra.
I have a lot of notes on her. I have a lot of opinions, so I'm actually not surprised that we talked about her for a long time.
Right. Let's go on to the next one, though. So something that we did not totally call was a new game type. Not like game mode, like capture, you know, the payload, whatever. Instead, we got a whole new game type to go along. Quick play, competitive mode. And this is, if my understanding is correct, this is kind of combining all into Heroes Brawl as well, right? So we have a 1v1 and a 3v3 arcade mode and a new map called Eco Point Antarctica. Rosh, what's going on here?
Eco Point Antarctica was kind of introduced to the game as a smaller map designed for the 3v3 and the 1v1. It's also kind of where we get the story from May. It's a frozen tundra kind of thing where they were running experiments there, and then they were kind of canceled off by the sub-zero temperatures and, you know, trapped, and no one survived except for May. So I think that we'll get some more May stuff, which I know not everybody's a huge fan of, but
yay.
I think that we'll get some cute little May shorts here and there. I don't know. We'll see.
I like cute little May shorts, like, you know, halfway between
gonna,
the thigh and the knee.
It's gonna, no, John, we don't need to know that. It's gonna be like that. It's gonna be like that Bastion short, though. You're like, oh, I hate Bastion so much, and now you're like, wow, I feel bad. Like, oh, I feel so bad.
She's all alone in a frozen tundra. Like, poor little May. No, never. Everybody has such strong opinions. I don't think that'll change. Like I said, the map seems to be focused around the 3v3, 1v1 because it is a smaller map. I don't think they'll be actually releasing it for like payloads or, you know, any other kind of game mode. I think it's strictly in the arcade
really
for
small.
These.
Yeah.
If you haven't played the 3v3 and 1v1, you should check out the arcade section. They're really awesome. I'll say
on the
this
PTR.
Year,
on the PTR.
Yeah, on the PTR. Sorry, they're not
console
released
players.
Yet. So they're still on the PTR. So only the PC people can play right now. I will say that 3v3s are so much fun that if they added a leaderboard to them, I would probably ditch the 6v6 ranked and just spend all my time 3v3ing. They're really cool.
It's so a totally different game.
It really is. It changes the meta. The support players that you want to play in it are different. It's really cool. If you haven't checked it out and you have a PC with Overwatch on it, you should. If you don't have Overwatch, that's okay. They're giving a free weekend for PC and console players. So you can totally check it out.
21st. 18th through the 21st.
Consoles and PCs.
It's a lot of fun. Yes, both consoles and PCs. So it's a ton of fun. I have so much fun in it. The map doesn't have any med packs on it. It basically has a room on the left, a room on the right.
That's why she likes it. The Mercy player likes a map with no med packs.
And Mercy seems to be really viable because Rez is so good on it. You just crouch and you walk around for 10 minutes, let your Rez go up, and then it's game because you Rez your two friends and you just take the game. So that's secretly why I like 3v3, because I know that I'm a good pick for it. But it's a lot of fun. You should definitely check it out.
Oh my gosh. Well, just for the overall like health of the game and learning different heroes and stuff like that, it really teaches you how to maximize, I think, your potential, because you're going to have to fight down a person a lot during this, and it'll help teach you, I think, to play a little bit safer, maybe. So it'll be interesting. And like Rosh said, if this becomes like some sort of leaderboards for this, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah. One thing that I didn't say, though, is you can solo queue into it, duo and trio. So don't think you have to be queued with two other people. You can solo queue into it. More than not, it'll match you up with two other people that are grouped, but sometimes it'll be three randoms versus three randoms. So don't worry if you don't have, you know, two other people you really want to play
friends.
With, you can solo queue into it.
And for the people who aren't maybe aware, basically, you lock in your hero for that round, and it's completely locked because once you die, you're done. And it's best of three? No, I think it's
best of five. It's
best of five. Okay. First of three.
Right. All right. But cool. Yeah, that's Eco Point Antarctica and the new arcade mode. Pretty cool. Maybe we'll start up a threes team here on the podcast.
Here we go.
And the worst person can play.
And also, so
I'll stream it. Don't worry.
I don't know if we really talked about this, but basically the arcade mode completely replaces the brawl mode going forward. So, but they have like a random playlist of older brawls. So you can still go and play those brawls that you were fans of. Just not the first Pharaoh one.
I love Overwatch. Guys, I love Overwatch so much.
So much it was announced. Like,
right. Yeah, a lot. The arcade mode, everything about the arcade mode is so amazing. It made me like this game so much more.
Can we please talk about my favorite thing that was announced at BlizzCon now? Please.
It looks like you have a shirt like set up for that.
I've got a shirt right here and I've got a thing here. Oh, Overwatch League. Overwatch League. I am so excited. But Jimmy, you know what? You deserve something. You called it, sir. You called an Overwatch League. We got it. It was way surpassed our expectations, I would say, overall. But because you called it, I will let you take first stab. Tell us about Overwatch League.
Yeah, so Overwatch or Blizzard announced the Overwatch League, and they're kind of mimicking it after the traditional sports model where there's going to be a combine of top players kind of just showcasing their skills for these theoretical, I mean, they're going to happen, but team owners that are going to be looking at all these players and trying to create the best team. And then these teams will form around cities around the United States or around the world. Really, it looked like they were going globally, and it's going to be really exciting. I am really excited that they're taking the traditional sports model here, where other esports have kind of done that as well. League especially comes out where it's every week. You know exactly when your team is going to be playing, where they're going to be playing, who they're going to be playing. All that is totally scheduled out, and this is just really exciting for Overwatch esports. It looks like it's going to be separate from other tournaments, I believe, from what I can tell.
I don't think there are details, and no one really knows, because even even the people that I talk to that are in, you know, the whole pro scene, they don't even really know how it's going to work. So I think people are still confused on that.
Yeah, now the one thing, I didn't actually see any of them there, but apparently there were like 10 to 15 major sports teams owners at BlizzCon for this. That is
the Patriots were there. Deal. The Clippers were there. The, like, I know of at least four ESPN correspondents. So not like team owners, just people reporting on it and stuff.
General ESPN people, not the esports people who were there.
Right.
Already, it was, which is crazy.
It was a big deal. I believe I saw in an interview somewhere that they had over 115 organizations represented for Overwatch esports to chat about that, which is huge. I mean, come on, we're getting an Overwatch League. So yeah, it's going to be regionally based. It's the Overwatch team had like some celebratory t-shirts that they were giving out to everyone on the team. And it was a Los Angeles t-shirt with an Overwatch logo on the back. It said Crusher 99 and then 99 on the back. So
yeah, if you haven't seen the promo video for it,
it's playing on the video right now, by the way.
Yeah.
No sound, but it's playing on the video.
So, it basically outlines, oh, you're going to make a name for yourself. And it's Crusher 99 is all over billboards and all this stuff. And this is way bigger than I think anyone
realized.
And also Serena Williams being in that promo video is huge.
So cool.
Huge.
Wearing a Crusher 99 jacket. I love it.
Just one of the biggest sports stars in the world and one of the most like known, I think, female athletes just globally.
Right.
Promoting that, being a part of that. Yeah, she got paid for it or whatever, but that's cool.
That's still huge. Yeah. it's huge. I think I'm way more excited than I think your average person, because I stream Overwatch. Like, that's my career. We do a podcast about Overwatch, and the fact that Overwatch is getting hitched with real sports is giant. It's so big. I'm so giddy for just Overwatch in the future. And this seems like they're doing something where they're looking like 10 years down the line and they still want this thing to be huge. I mean, it's ginormous, and I'm so excited.
Ginormous.
I'm just I have questions because I just wish they would have released more details. I understand why they didn't, because, you know, more details are coming next year. It was BlizzCon. They kind of, that's what they do. They hint at stuff.
This is 2017 stuff, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, of course we can expect more details. Yeah, that is also true. We're at the end of 2016.
It's only a month. Only a month.
It just makes me wonder, because it's like, if they're doing this city regional over the world thing, how does this correlate with the pro teams going on right now? Is it going to be something like collegiate sport? Esports is different than like the main esports, except instead of, you know, college teams, this is like Tempo Storm, C9, TSM, because those three teams in specific are located in LA. What are they going to have three teams in LA? They can't move to a different city, because that kind of defeats the purpose of the E-League and wanting to represent your city. So is it going to be different? Are they going to try and work it out with the teams? Are the teams going to want to be bought out by Blizzard? It just, it left a lot of questions, and I wish we had answers, but I understand that we...
Just a little history lesson for esports fans. I think teams will be very hesitant to be bought out by Blizzard.
I agree.
They've been burned in the past by CGS. Obviously, that was like 8 years ago or something like that. So things are much different now and much more positive, I think, feeling around esports in general, obviously because of the people interested in it, as evidenced at BlizzCon. But it'll be interesting. Complexity is like the only team left from the CGS days. And even then, they're not as big of a name as they once were. So it'll be interesting to see how esports teams react from this. And we talked about this also on the recap show at BlizzCon on the BlizzPro YouTube. But this makes that esports event at BlizzCon make much more sense, because they're already getting us in that mindset of, oh, it's regional based. It's not a team name. We're rooting for our region. I mean, John, you and I were in there
watching USA. USA, yes. We were
against it was a lot Korea. Of fun. It was a little rough, but it was fun.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. We're going to talk about it after this.
We're going to talk about it.
Also, I have a feeling they're going to reuse that stage for this new Overwatch League. Oh. That stage was sick.
The rotate? Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you're probably right. It was. We're going to talk about Overwatch World Cup in a second, but a couple things I just wanted to add to this. I think that teams and professional players are probably the most hesitant about this going forward, because they're already signed and they've already built up these entire organizations. Obviously, you don't want to lose to that. For viewers and spectators, I think it's amazing. We're talking about consistent content, a centralized portal of where to go. They even allude to some fantasy Overwatch esports stuff in the trailer, which
I wanted to butt in really quickly, though.
They butt did right say in, Jenny.
They're guaranteeing contracts for compensation and benefits. This is unprecedented in esports.
The benefits of a contract.
Giant.
Just kidding. Just kidding. The benefit of a contract. So, yeah, they are. We have yet to see specific numbers yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's Blizzard. They've been pretty well known to do things right from time to time, a la Overwatch. As a game,
I think they're kind of overcompensating for their previous failures in trying to do this. I mean, because everybody's hesitant in the esports thing when it comes to Blizzard. I mean, they hear Blizzard and they hear esports and they're just like, okay, I guess.
Like, we look at the past of Blizzard. I mean, both Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm, they didn't come out of the gate being like, oh yeah, we're going to make leagues for this. It was like, oh, let's see if the community really wants this. And I think that's why I predicted this, was because I felt like there was a shift at Blizzard. I didn't know anything about this, actually, but it felt like something was changing at Blizzard, and they were very, very serious about this.
I don't know if I like calling it a failure or past failures. I feel like they have...
I think it's being cautious.
I think they've just decided that, you know, the future of esports, you have to kind of nurse that from itself, because riding on the coattails of a game's success or failure has not been as successful as it could be, and it makes it much more difficult to change later on. You know, League of Legends, who knows what that could look like if they just started off with a centralized, you know, NFL type league in, you know, for League of Legends. Imagine that what that would look like. And so they are definitely, I think you're right. They're being cautious by not being cautious. They're 6 months. The game's been live 6 months and boom, we've got an announcement for an official Overwatch league. The teams are young. They're not ingrained super deep into those organizations. The organizations are more easily able to uproot themselves or change their contracts or change how they're structured to support Overwatch with Blizzard. And I can't speak officially on the record or anything like that, but I do know of people, you know, fairly close to the situation on both sides who said that Blizzard really desires for this to be a huge friendship and partnership in making this happen. This isn't a big F you esports organizations. We're going to do our own thing. It's like, hey, what you guys are doing are great. We think we've got a way to help make this better, help you guys make more money, help us make more money, help your players make more money and be supported with benefits. And it's very much of how can we work together to do that? Now, there's obviously going to be varying opinions all across the spectrum of I love this to I hate this. But overall, the general sentiment is very, very positive on this. So I think I'm really excited. Everyone should be excited for now until they say it's like $8,000 a year salary. Get a big fat check, they say. Big fat monthly check. $400
Youch.
That'd be the worst. That would be the worst.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Anything
make,
else
make
on
less
Overwatch?
Playing Overwatch than Heroes.
Oh, brutal. Anything else on Overwatch League besides how much we're going to follow it and play it and probably talk about it on the show?
Nope. No, I think absolutely. I think
boom.
Good.
Cool.
It's all speculation at this point.
Yeah.
It's very, very broad announcements, but I'm excited for sure. And that logo, let's talk about the logo really quickly.
Oh my God, so good.
Speaking of taking stuff from traditional sports or being inspired by traditional sports, it's the NBA style logo, the silhouette, very clean, simple
MLB,
design.
Yeah,
MLB as well. So I'm excited.
I did say one thing. We, Jimmy, Kevin, and I did a little recap for BlizzPro. It's on the BlizzPro YouTube, and it was just kind of reacting to the Overwatch announcement and end up just turning into an Overwatch League geeking moment. And one thing that I've been saying is I think this is a step in the right direction, but I don't know. I wonder if a farm system like Major League Baseball has is a better structure than a combine NFL system. So like, somebody like, you know, Rosh, let's say you're borderline pro, can't quite get there, can't quite not, almost like alternate. Imagine being able to play in like a triple A league, which maybe isn't quite as salaried, still has some benefits, but a lot of it is that, and someone, you know, you can go up and then you've got, you know, I don't know how many different layers of leagues that you would have, but you could be in the you know, Los Angeles, Clippers, esports system, but like, yeah, I play for the AAA, you know, the AAA team. And that's a way that they build up that structure versus straight up do opens, combine, hopefully land a spot on the roster.
Yeah. Do we know how they're inviting people to the combine? Has that been released? Is it like, oh, you hit X rated, so you automatically get sent an invite to the combine and they're your judge, or they're going to be people in the game?
They kind of alluded to that. I think they were talking about, yeah, the higher ranked people will definitely be getting invites to these combines. I don't know what the cutoff or whatever is though.
Proven stars and leaderboard heroes will assemble in one global talent pool. Teams then maneuver to sign the best players and build sturdy rosters for the season ahead. So they, you know, it basically sounds like, you know what, dude, you're Seagull. Your seagull. Yeah. Yes, somebody's going to want to sign you. Yes, somebody wants to sign Michael Jordan. you know, but then, you know, hey, you've gotten top 15 in, you know, in Grandmaster. Like, yeah, you should be here. And so it sounds like a combination that doesn't require tournament players who purely play tournaments and improve themselves in tournaments to all of a sudden make themselves ladder players to you know, do that. So it sounds
I'm
like
I'm excited for it.
They're going about it the right way to at least start. Okay. Sorry. Overwatch World Cup. Overwatch World Cup. This is pretty cool. Kind of. So if you watched opening week, the USA did really well until they played Russia and they lost a best of three in four games. That's how close it was. It was a really, really well fought series and Russia won. And that put the United States in the bracket against South Korea to start off the Overwatch World Cup. Now, South Korea, you may have heard them around esports as being pretty good at video games. They are pretty good at Overwatch. We'll just say that. And arguably one of the favorites.
They won three of the five world championships at BlizzCon. Just to put that in perspective.
Did they show up in all of the games? Yeah.
They won StarCraft, Heroes, and Overwatch. So,
I think it's quite known that Korea dominates the esports scene.
I don't know how North Korea does in esports.
I mean, to America's. Point to their I can't think of the word that I'm searching for here, but I mean America did the best against Korea that any other team did.
It's
so
true.
I'll give them that.
If they would have beat
Russia, I can world map it to like what 10 meters, 5 meters.
It was so close.
I remember reading something though on our Overwatch. I think one of the Korean players was stuck. Like during the match or something like that. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I don't know if it was against the US, but one of the Ana player for South Korea was going up next to the spawn point to like try to hear footsteps and see if they could, you know, get an idea on what the comp was, presumably. And he got stuck. And the team just ran right past him. So he starts like shooting at them and throwing stuff at them and not moving at all. And people were freaking out like, oh, this is BM. Like, this is how cocky the South Korean team is. And, you know, through an interview or I think it was a Twitch chat comment, the player was like, actually, no, I was just stuck. I just wanted them to kill me so that I could get out of the location that I was in because I was stuck. And so that was kind of weird. But yeah, it was. So anyways, the U.S. was seeded against South Korea, did not do well, lost 2-0, and then South Korea wrecked Russia more than they wrecked the USA. So if the USA would have beat Russia, it probably would have been USA versus Russia in the grand finals. And who knows what could have happened there. I mean, South Korea still looked really good. But, you know,
I mean, on the Anubis, when they were defending the Anubis against NA, it looked like the point was USA. That was the team, right? Was it NA or was it USA?
Sorry, you're right. USA.
It looked like USA would get the point like 3-4 times, and somehow Korea would just come over and they just. I don't know how. I was flabbergasted. I was so blown away by how USA did not get the point. So Korea ends up holding them off and defending, and USA doesn't get the first point. And then USA goes to defend. And Korea, I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. 50 seconds, and the game was over. The first push. That's 50 seconds, including capping the point, which, as you know, only goes up to three people and is still kind of slow. So 50 seconds. Korea is, they're not even on Earth. I swear. They're not even in the same league as other teams. They play the game so differently. There are actually videos and commentators who look and analyze Korea play, and they just play the game around alts, even in an alt based game right now. They play it mechanically and off the screen as a team, just in a different league. It's crazy. So kudos to USA for doing as well as they did. I mean, that was a stacked team. Right. You had Adam, Siegel, stacked teams. They did well, but Korea is insane.
That's something that I've heard kind of over and over is on an individual skill level, many people felt like USA and potentially even Russia were better, but South Korea, that team was just so prepared as a team, mm-hmm. had played together as a team and really approached the tournament mm-hmm. playing it as a team, that those maybe differences in skill gap were greatly made up for and even more in their ability to work and gel as a team, which is something that you heard Siegel talk about almost the entire weekend, is about how great he felt like the USA was on an individual skill level as well as, you know, as a team. We've come together really quick. We're really comfortable with a bunch of different comps and different heroes, and we just overall feel really good about the group overall. But they just weren't quite on South Korea level.
I just did want to mention the third place match was super good. Finland, I think it was Sweden, played each other, and it went to the last game in the last map on a contest point. So check that out if you want to see some really, really close matches, because that was a really good series as well.
Right. You know what?
Time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
Yep. I think we got to get out of here. We'll start to get out of here anyways. It's been a fun show. We had a lot to talk about. We didn't have Kevin here to finish up the other 30 minutes of the podcast. But, you know, he'll be back next week. It'll be great. It'll be fun. So thank you guys for hanging out with us for episode number 45 of The Payload. We do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B., Tyler H., J.A. Coral, and Tommy H. We want to thank you all for your support. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if you want to support, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Rosh, what else we got going on in Patreon land?
Patreon, you kind of capped on it a little bit earlier. We're super close to our next goal of $200, which is our merchandise store. And the shirts there are pretty freaking cool. They look really awesome. So any kind of support that you guys, you know, feel like you want to give would help us out immensely. Like I said, we're super, super close. So we're super excited to get that out to you. John gave you, you know, the patreon.com/payload podcast. You can check that out. You can also check out the other rewards as well too. Any kind of support that you give, it's great. It really helps us reach the goal and, you know, give you back as much as you give us in the support watching us every week. So it's pretty awesome.
And this week we do want to thank Theo L and Albert. Welcome to the Patreon family. I'll be sending you an email soon. We're really excited to have you and welcome to the fam. iTunes reviews. Jimmy, what do we got going on there?
Yeah, iTunes reviews are a really great way to support us as well. If you can't afford to donate to the Patreon, you can also always give us a 5-star iTunes review. It helps grow the show and get us into more ear holes out there. But from Australia, Libby with the really great cat ASCII emote gave us a 5-star review. Thank you so much, Libby. We really appreciate it.
From Australia, mate. Sorry, that's awful.
Okay, Junkrat.
Let's do some shout outs for the week. Rosh, what are your shout outs for the week?
I don't really have a lot coming up because now that BlizzCon is done, I am not leaving my house for the rest of the year. I'm so done socializing. I'm basically just devoting all of my time to streaming. I will be streaming until Monday. Monday's my first day off, so check that out at twitch.tv/okitsrosh. I stream competitive. I'm doing both Overwatch and live, just depending on where the queues are at right now. So you can catch me there. That's about all I have going on for the next week.
All right. Jimmy, what about you, man?
Just thanks to everyone who came and said hi at BlizzCon. It was really great to meet a lot of our viewers and listeners and just the entire BlizzCon community is always awesome every year, and this year was no exception. And for those of you who are probably going next year, you want to check out the Marriott. Get away from the Hilton DJs. Loud, obnoxious.
It was pretty loud.
The worst.
Yeah, you can actually hear people when you go over to the Marriott, and the Marriott was definitely a much chiller vibe. And
Katie and I did dance a little bit at the Hilton, so we were part of the problem. Good. But you know, it was late. We had many drinks.
Yeah.
Had to dance on our way up.
It's so. Where all the parties are, anyways. The World of Podcasts is there, Wowhead, etc.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks everyone for saying hi. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. As for me, I do want to thank everybody who I met at BlizzCon, both of you. So it was great to meet you. And big thanks to Ro and Cerevis and Zaya at the Con Before the Storm for having us and allowing us at BlizzPro to be so well represented on the World of Podcasts panels. That was really cool to have. So thank you. And again, we will have that episode up shortly, but you should go to, I believe it's on Realm Maintenance. If you want to listen to the other, like Hearthstone Heroes, World of Warcraft stuff. So if you want to listen to that there, you should definitely go check that out as well. And of course, give them all a follow. And oh yeah, I am streaming full-time too and doing these podcasts. You guys have talked about it a few times before. This is my job now. So if you want to hang out with me. I'm streaming every morning for about 3 to 4 hours at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And then I stream every evening for about 3 or 4 hours starting at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, except for the nights that we do podcasts, in which case I don't stream because we're doing these things, but we normally do stream after. Do you guys have time to do some streaming after?
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay. I'll do a game or two.
You've never looked so disappointed to have to carry Jimmy and I in.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. You guys are great at Overwatch. I don't have to carry you at all.
Thank you.
Oh my god. Well, that's gonna do it for us. You can find more Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. A big thank you to Jake Buttono at jakebuttono.ca for our music. And of course, follow us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. And we do have a Facebook page. Give it a like, leave a review, facebook.com/payload podcast. And of course, our Patreon. We would not be here without our patrons. Patreon.com/payload podcast. Emails. Give us emails. We just talked about everything with BlizzCon. We want to hear your guys' thoughts and questions. Head over to your email client of choice and email thepayload@blizzpro.com, and we'd love to chat about it on the show. And again, we do really, really, really appreciate your iTunes review. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts. This has been episode number 45 of The Payload. We will see you next week, and hopefully with a stacked crew. Bye, guys.
The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, Kevin on Twitter at Lack of Realism, and John on Twitter at Kicked Tripod.